Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hey, what's up? Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I'm your host, Dr. Melvin Varghese. Today's podcast is all about getting clients. If you hate the words marketing, promoting, or selling. I feel like so many of us, especially in the helping professions, we enter our field and we have this mindset that, you know, we just want to help. And the last thing we want to do is try to sell ourselves in any kind of way. And so then when we get into private practice, we feel this tremendous sense of pressure, like, how do I put myself out there when all I want to do is help people? You're going to be really in for a treat with today's guest, Dr. Anna Melikan. Anna's actually a licensed psychologist. She's the host of the Mindset Zone podcast.
You've just crossed over into the Mindset Zone. Join your guide, Anna Melikan, the director of education for the Book Yourself Solid School of Coach Training,
which was recently featured in the Huffington Post article, 15 podcasts that will leave you pondering life's big questions. Anna is also the director of education for Michael Port's Book Yourself Solid School of Coach Training. If you've never heard of the Book Yourself Solid book, it's a fantastic book and it's recommended by a lot of clinicians have recommended it to me that are in private practice. Anna is also a sought-after speaker whose expertise is in helping service-based businesses really grow and help define their voice. I reached out to Anna because I felt like she really understood the struggle of what it's like to be in the helping profession. She was a psychotherapist for a long time, had her own private practice, and so she really knows what it's like to try to promote and sell while running a small business. And so today our conversation is all about getting clients when those words of marketing and selling don't feel right to you, and more specifically, how you can do this in a way that feels really comfortable for you. So here's my conversation with Anna Melikan from annamelikan.com. Hey Anna, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Pleasure to be here, Melvin.
I feel like this conversation is just going to be really good, especially because you've been in the field and you also are now on the business side of things. So you can completely relate to some of the things that we'll be talking about today.
I'm now where I am because if you're speaking 10 years ago and you were telling me, oh, you are going to be a business coach and help self-employed professionals, service professionals to be setting up their business online and strategies about how to get more sales and clients, I will say, no way. I'm a psychotherapist. I love what I do. And I hate marketing and sales.
I feel like, you know, we've connected and I feel like your story is just one of those stories like where you came from that perspective of being so scared. Now you've almost embraced it. And I'm excited to hear about that journey. So I think you're bringing up a good point, which is that I think so many of us in the mental health field, especially in private practice, we have such kind hearts and the thought of marketing or promoting our services, there's just something that terrifies us about it.
Yeah, and we are from this position of service. And even goes, I think, deeper. I still remember in Portugal, I'm originally from Portugal, and I did my psychology studies there. And we have like the college for psychology, the university studies for psychology is 5 years. And the last two at the time that now also that changed, but at the time we had 3 years that was common to everybody in psychology. And the last 2 years were like a kind of specialization. And I pick clinical psychology because it was the more honorable way of serving psychology, in my opinion, at the time. And I remember that one of the options was industrial psychology, and most people will say, oh my gosh, that is selling psychology away. Mm. So I think it's very ingrained in many people, at least it was in me, the idea that, okay, we have this body of knowledge that is so amazing, and we are here in the service of others. And anything that was marketing and sales was like, oh, I don't want to know anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good point because I do. I think it's not only just ingrained in us, but I think it's also ingrained in the training that we receive. So how do you think that you slowly started to make that shift from, I don't know that I can market and sales, that doesn't feel right to me, to where you are now?
And there was a long transition because when I started my private practice as a psychotherapist in Portugal, I really didn't have to do any marketing and sales. So the only thing that I had to do is finding a place for seeing the clients, an office, and the printing, like the business cards, honestly, because people were finding me because I was teaching in a private university there. People were connecting and asking, do you see clients? I know somebody that needs help, and I think you'll be a person to help them. So it started in a very organic and natural way. And I had a private practice a couple of days a week. That was my ideal thing. And totally full with waiting list. In a couple of years, I was having a waiting list. So when I moved to the United States and I decided to become a life coach, I thought that, okay, I'm good in what I'm doing. I just put myself out there and clients will come. Not really. I didn't have the same position that I had in Portugal. I was not one of a lecturer of a faculty in a known program of psychology. So people didn't knew about me, didn't knew about what I had to offer. Yeah. So suddenly I got, and I was wanting to have an online-based business. And I really very quickly after get my certification as a life coach, I realized that, this is not going to be what I was used to. Just be good in what I do and the rest will follow. Mm. I have to learn something, how to be found, because I'm just a needle in the haystack out there. Mm. There are many other excellent professionals, excellent coaches and other service professionals out there. And how can we be found? Hmm. How can we stop being the best kept secret? And I start to study it. I think that is my background in academia. Okay, we have a challenge. Let's study, research, and find a solution. Right. And there were other people having a success out there. There were the other people making it. So I start to study what are they doing. And yes, you have to do sales and marketing. You have to learn about marketing. And my first reaction was, oh no, I don't want that.
Right. But, that's not why I went into the profession.
Yes, I don't know. But if I want, that was the need. The driving force there was the need. If you want clients, you are not having clients. You have to do something about this. So let's study. And because, let's study and learn. Okay, I can do that. Why not? And the amazing thing for me when I start to study about marketing, study about sales, and really finding systems that were much more in alignment with my own values, because there are many systems out there and some I really don't like and others I found, like the Book Yourself Solid system that I specialize now in. I felt, wow, I like this. This resonates with me.
What was it about that system that you felt like resonated with you?
Because when Michael Port, that is the creator of this system, he start the Book Yourself Solid system, he start in from the ground up thinking about service professionals. So people that have a service, that have a mission of being in service of others, that in general hate marketing and selling. So he didn't start as many marketing material that is out there that are sales professionals, salespeople that are great in what they do. And they try to convince us that, okay, you have to do this from this perspective And that doesn't resonate with most service professionals.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a different way of looking at it, right? Like it's, yeah.
They see many of these traditional sales training, they see numbers. Mm. And we see people.
Yeah.
And an individual, a person. And that is what I love about the Book Yourself Solid system, that is all about connecting, all about creating a conversation with people. And from building that connection and that trust is where clients will start to come.
What are some of those initial ingredients that you have found builds that sense of connection and trust with potential clients?
The first thing is that, as you say, mainly when we are in social media, first we have to have very clear our foundation, because one of the things that we always like to say when we are speaking about the Book Yourself Solid system is starting to debunk like a big myth that there is around marketing. Mm-hmm. That is the idea that marketing is what gets you clients. And we say straight away, no, marketing does not get your clients. And most people go, what? A marketing coach saying marketing doesn't get clients? So why do I want, I don't like marketing, so why I need marketing? Marketing has a very important function. Marketing allows us to create awareness about what we do. Mm. Allow other people to know that we exist and that we have a service that we can offer them. And that is essential. Without that element, they don't know that we exist.
Well, I mean, I think even that part, the way you're describing it, right? Like it's so different. It doesn't feel like in your face or doesn't feel like salesy in a way. In a way, I think it feels so much more authentic.
Yeah, because it's just how to say, I'm this person with this service. And you have to be able to find a place that you can fully self-express and you can are able to speak in a very comfortable way about your services. But that is just the first step. That creating of awareness is just the first step, because it's what happens when somebody becomes aware that you exist and you have a specific services. The person first question is, can this person, this service professional, this mental health practitioner, help me in what I need? Because I can meet a very interesting person that maybe specializes in child psychology, and my problem is not a child psychology problem, is I want I have a phobia to go in a plane and I need help there. So first question is always that the person asks is about them. Can this service professional help me get what I need? And if the answer is yes, that person is going to check the service professional out. He's going to know a little bit, let me look at it, let me see. And it, what they, and usually nowadays the way that they do that is by Googling your name and checking what we have online. And if what they see is resonates with them, they feel, okay, this person has like a solid foundation. I really like what you wrote here, what is said in that interview, what he did here. Oh, I'm going to give the opportunity, maybe phone him or just sign up to their mailing list. So they are giving opportunity to start to build the trust and credibility.
I mean, you brought up a good point, which is, I guess when someone, a potential client approaches a clinician, are they looking for like certain language or are they, what are they looking for, I guess, in that initial process?
I think it's first, can I trust this person? Can this person help me and can I trust? So they are checking you out. And sometimes, of course, in many practice, mainly when we are doing our work for a couple of years, a lot come from referrals. So it's already somebody that we trust that tells us go to see this professional, and that already builds some credential there, some trust there that is great, but he's not still a client. He's just a person that is interested in know more about our services. And we really have to connect with that person, a person-to-person level. Okay, so what you like to know about me, about the way I work, and of course, how to say, as a mental health professional, there are restrictions that other service professionals don't have.
Right.
For instance, as a business coach, I can very easily say, do you want to speak with one of my clients? And I have a couple of clients that I know that don't mind to be on the phone with a potential client and speak about the work that we do together. Mm. As a psychotherapist, by depending of the organization that you are associated with, but usually you cannot do that. So we have always to have that kind of specific things into consideration, but the person is there to know more about us, and we have to have a system that enable us to create trust. And sometimes that first initial conversation or in person or by phone is not enough, but if we have a way of keeping that relationship of trust growing, then we can start to make sales offers that are proportional to the amount of trust, because maybe they are not ready to start the one-on-one psychotherapy with us. But if we have a weekend intensive around a certain topic that is relevant for them, they are going to go to that thing. Or if we are doing a webinar about a specific topic, they will register to the webinar just to know a little bit more about our way of work.
How do you gauge the level of trust a potential client is getting toward you?
When you are in person, I think we are very good about, most psychotherapists and mental health professionals are very good in social intelligence and emotional intelligence. We are very good in seeing, or they say, how the other person is responding. And when we are in the same room under the same ceiling, and even in the phone, because we have the verbal cues, is much more difficult in online communication via email or Facebook or that kind, that we just have the text.
Right.
As I think the best thing is not make an assumptions, instead ask with that perspective of being curious. Mm. I just wonder what you are thinking about this. Mm. What is your goal? So you are looking for somebody to help in what? So start, engage in a conversation will be the best way, even through the email.
And then once that sense of trust has been established, whether it's either the phone or some sort of online like social media platform, I guess what's sort of the next step?
The next step, and one important thing here of the next step, we are speaking about this in a very sequential way, but we have to see that people have different rhythms of how to connect with service professionals and also depend on timing. If some person has an urgency, okay, I have to, for instance, I was giving the example of a phobia to travel by plane. If they have an important, for instance, you have your best friend wedding is going to be in 3 months' time, he's just sending the invitation and you have to say something, and what is, you really want to go, but oh gosh, getting into the plane is getting you, your nerves out there. That is an urgent situation that you can ask around, okay, do you know somebody that work very well with these kind of phobias? Okay, oh, yeah, I know this person is great. The phone call, they like to resonate with that call or that communication. Say, can we start next week? So it can be very quick.
Right.
Because there is the urgency. They need to solve this now. But at times, it's that kind of things. Yes, I should. It can be the same phobia, the same, exactly the same problem. But there is no three. I just drive there. It's 3 hours away, or even 6 hours away. Now even the gas is cheaper. I can drive there. We rationalize. We tell our rational lies. And we can delay the decision for a while. And then, but if that person is, I like this mental health professional, and I really love this newsletter that they send with these tips and things, and I keep reading it. And then, okay, it's time for me to do something about, so let me phone to see if I can start working with this person.
I mean, Anna, I think you're bringing up a great point, which is, I think in this day and age, something like trust, right? Especially when there's so much resources and so much research available, it's something that's built over time and not sort of one interaction.
Yeah, and of course, then it really depends on a lot of things, because if I go and see a talk of somebody and I really resonate with that person spoke, it's not unusual in the end of that talk, enough trust is built to say, I want to work with this person. Let's see if he's available. And mainly when it's an in-person thing, or if the person is very known, and just that creates the credibility for that, I want to work with that person. But often, for instance, a webinar or some online interaction takes longer to build the trust.
Right. As opposed to live, you're saying?
Yes. Live usually. Because, yeah, people, we have more data to analyze. And for us, I like this person. I don't like this person. I trust this person. I don't trust this person. Accelerates a lot. In person events, I accelerates a lot the process.
I mean, that's really interesting because I think in past podcast conversations, I know guests have mentioned like the thought of reaching out to local organizations and doing presentations and stuff. And I think what you're saying is like, there's a lot of power in that.
Oh yes, totally. We see you can get a client much quicker that way in-person events in general, as a general rule, than online. Because of people have that, they can make that decision. Because they feel they have more elements to build their trust and credibility and to feel if they resonate or not with the person. Mm. And I would like to, just for practitioners out there that struggle with marketing and sales, you don't have to have an online presence or even an online strategy often to have a full practice. You don't have to know about Facebook ads or having an extraordinary website to get a full practice. Sometimes it's the basic things that people overlook that are important and are enough to build a practice. For instance, if you do a list of 90 people that you know, people that if you send them an email or even know their number, phone number, they communicate back to you. This can be colleagues, can be other people in the community, can be past clients, can be people that you are working now, that are people that know you. And if you cultivate with this group, we call it the network of 90. If you cultivate a relationship with this nucleus of people in a way that you add value to them, you are relevant to them, they will keep you in the top of their mind. And when they need a service that you provide, or they know somebody that needs a service that you provide, you will be one of the first names that comes to their minds.
Mm, that's a really good point. So when you're giving value to this group of 90, does that kind of depend on what the person's like specialty is or who they are?
We want to develop a deeper relationship with these people in a personal way. Or they say, for instance, it's not just we can, for instance, it's a birthday. We should send them a birthday card or a birthday, some way of saying, I'm thinking of you in this day. If we are in Facebook, and that is where social media sometimes is very helpful because we can see what is happening in people's lives. So yes, a cold. So just send a small note saying also sorry that you are not feeling 100%. I hope that you get quick better, or things that are more serious than that. But be there as a person. It's like share what you feel kind. I'm a human being. You are a human being. And I like to be here as a person. So just that small touches is one of the things that we can do every day, at least with one person of this list, that really can make a person of being present in a human way there. And then, for instance, we read an article or we finish a book and we think, or we see a TED talk or another video in YouTube that we think, oh my gosh, so-and-so really would love this. So don't stay with so-and-so really would love this. Send them an email with a note, I just saw this video, or I just read this article and the link is here, and I really thought about you because of that conversation that we have. And this can be professional or even hobby related. Oh, I just saw this bidding article that I thought that you will love because I know that you like bidding. Mm. So what? But we have to know the person's hobbies. They love pets, and this article is so cute about pets. So I thought of you. So that kind of sharing what you know every day, we can share something that we know to other people in our network, and then also share who we know, because sometimes other people are looking for, oh, I need somebody to do me a graphic design. I need somebody to help me on even in plumbing. And if we become the connectors and connecting people, people naturally are going also to reciprocate by connecting us with other people.
I feel like you're absolutely right. In this day and age of social media and where everything's go, 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 I think we can get lost in that idea of that the essence of it's relationships, right?
Yeah, and we forget the basics. Right. Because this, if we look at, this is how other people in the past build their practice, by developing relationships with people in their community, and they become known as the person to go to in a certain area of speciality. But they spend time in their communities, they cultivate the connection. So we just have to do this in person or online, because I think sometimes the problem of the internet, of the social media, is very easy for us to spread ourselves too thin and forget the basics.
Right. And I want to be very good with our time. So this final question was, how do you think being trained, you know, in human behavior, as most mental health practitioners, of course, are, how do you think that can actually be a strength in marketing?
Can be totally a strength, because we, as mental health professionals, in my case, as a psychologist, and we know a lot about communication, how to communicate with people, how to relate with people, and how to understand and see how people respond to what we are, the message that we are putting on the table. And marketing is really just another form of communicating. So we just have to learn a form of marketing that is communicating in a way that resonates with our values, that is in alignment with our values, and then really be self-express of putting that out there. I believe in this.
I've heard of Michael Port's book has been recommended by lots of mental health private practitioners, and I'll definitely link to that here in the show notes. Anna, what are the best ways that folks can get in touch with you if they want to touch base and also receive some additional training?
So the best way, go to my website. And the easier way is just go to mindset.zone. So instead of .com is .zone, mindset.zone. And you will be redirected to my website, that is annamalikian.com. And mindset.zone is also the name of my podcast, where I speak about ways that we can have like a weekly mindset workout and help us to keep in this journey of personal development that I think all of us are. And there you will find my email, phone number, everything that you need to connect, including free resources that I have in my website.
Yeah, I can definitely vouch for your podcast. I've been listening to it in the last week, and it's fantastic.
Thank you.
it's phenomenal work. Anna, thank you so much for doing this.
Pleasure to be here.
Hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Dr. Anna Malikian. So there were a couple of ideas that really stood out to me. The first was this idea that if we can start to see marketing as a way of connecting with others and as a way of relationship building, I feel like it really does change the mindset by which we approach that whole topic and that whole area. And I feel like most of us as mental health providers, we're really good at building trust and rapport. And so if we could take that same mentality that we have in the therapy room, outside of the therapy room, and in terms of how we let others know about our services, then I feel like it's a much more authentic way. And we're really, at the end of the day, working within our strengths. The other tip or the other thing that I wanted to point you to again is that book by Michael Port, which is called Book Yourself Solid, the fastest, easiest, and most reliable system for getting more clients than you can handle, even if you hate marketing and selling. This book I just started reading, and it's an excellent read for, I feel like, for anyone that is in any kind of business at all that deals with people, but it's also really good for if you're in the helping profession. I'll link to that book here in the show notes, which you can find at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 27. Have a splendid week. Have a great summer. If you are starting to go on vacations, have a wonderful time, and please take good care and do all the self-care that you need, because what we do is so important to the world. Have a great week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.